to No Suits, No Secrets, where we ditch the corporate cookie cutter BS and get to the truth about what it really takes to lead, succeed, and stay you while doing it. Today's guest, Dr. Liz, is a powerhouse executive coach and conflict resolution expert who helps women business owners ditch people pleasing, shut down self-doubt, and lead with unapologetic power. That is a lot to take in right there, because I know a lot of us already deal with that, even as entrepreneurs, whether you're in corporate as an employee, a manager, whatever you're doing, those definitely come in. So if you've ever felt stuck saying, what are I'm supposed to do it this way? I'm supposed to hustle. I'm supposed to work 80 hours every week until I burn out. This is definitely the episode for you. Dr. Liz helps her clients not just level up, but rewire how they see themselves. So, welcome, Dr. Liz, to the show this morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm
So
welcome.
excited. I'm also joined with the amazing Bonnie and Don today, as well as we dive into all things. But first and foremost, there is something that stuck out, and we're going to jump in right into the nitty-gritty. Burnout isn't just the way it is. You say burnout isn't inevitable, but it's a choice. Can
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
unpack that for us? Because burnout is a really, I think it's like a lot of people use it as like a badge of honor almost. Like,
Yeah,
I'm burnt
absolutely.
out because I work so hard, I'm getting burnout. It's like, why? So talk to us about how really burnout is the choice we made for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, thanks for having me, ladies. I'm excited to be here. Don, I'm excited to hear more about you. You're a Marine. My boyfriend's a Marine. Lots of clients of mine are Marines. So I work with a lot of y'all, and it is fun. And you're my favorite kind of people because I can cuss and nobody's gonna like say
That's
anything.
right.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so here's what I mean by burnout as a choice. Like, let's rewind all the way to the start of kind of industrialized America. I want to like plop us into Cleveland or Detroit, just for example. So here we are, and we are unskilled workers, and we're wanting to raise a family, and we need to, feed ourselves and all of those things. And so we go off and we find jobs with these huge companies that are starting to take root. We've got Ford, we've got Chrysler, we've got all of these places, and all of a sudden we have the promise of being able to feed our families, send our kids to school, right? Pay for a house using just this income. And so maybe our wives aren't going to have to take these second jobs. Maybe we're not going to have multiple different things happening. Maybe we're not going to be under the thumb of a boss or a, direct employer where we're working at the house. And if we slip and fall on the roof, they say, fuck you, go home, right? All of a sudden we have all of these different benefits, but they're contingent on showing up and working in the way that somebody else tells you, right? And we're going to pay you just enough to be okay, right? And so if you want to be more than okay, you best be there early and stay late and do all of these things, right? And so we have it baked into the concept of the American dream that part of that is we're supposed to struggle. Right. That's just the way it is. Right. And that's not a narrative that happened by accident. That's a narrative that made a lot of companies a lot of money. Right. And continues to do so. When my great uncle Frankie was 17, he stole his dad's shoes and he walked to the army recruiter and he signed up. He lied about his age and he signed up to go to World War II. He got the Bronze Star for fighting in Japan. So why did he do it? One, he was a patriot and felt, strongly about serving his country. But two, his family couldn't afford clothes. My great grandmother could not afford to pay cl for clothes, right? He stole his dad's shoes because he didn't have good enough shoes to go walk to the army recruiter, right? His ability to be okay in very basic sense, right, was contingent on finding someone else to pay him. And that someone else was going to come with a lot of strings attached that include putting your life on the line, right? And so we have all of this baked into the idea of what it means, not just to be a person that does a good job, right? Not just to be an American, right? But to be who it is as a good person is to break ourselves emotionally, right? Physically, in the service of trying to make a living, right? And that's not an accident. It didn't come out of nowhere. Jesus did not come from upon high and say, this is how it is, right? These are narratives that have contributed to building structures, that have contributing to how we think about ourselves, right? And so we get all this internalized garbage that says, this is who you are, this is what it means to be a good person, right? And this is how far you're allowed to take yourself in terms of providing and excelling and affluence and abundance before you feel like crap about yourself. Because you're supposed to be struggling, didn't you know? Right. And so if you push back against that, it's not just like, slay, bitch, I only work 25 hours a week. Which, by the way, for the 5 years that I've owned my company, I only work about 25 hours a week. But one of the things that lives in my head constantly is, oh my gosh, am I making too much money? Right. I think about my forefathers and foremothers literally, right? Like literally struggling for their lives and that being attached to money. And so when we think about why do I feel burned out? Like I'm just not setting boundaries and I need to like read a couple more books, right? It's not that you're doing something wrong. It's that you've been told that this is the right way to do it. And so as you wheel yourself backwards and you go, well, wait a second, common sense is uncommon sense. How do I shift into an uncommon narrative, which is it's safe to take plenty of time. It's okay if I need to go to the doctor, right? It's okay if I want to go get a massage, right? I'm taking the whole week off. I just texted my assistant. I was like, sorry to text you on a Saturday. Like, I need to take the whole week off. I have this huge PTA thing happening. It's the end of elementary school. And I felt all sorts of weird about it. But I have people in my life and in my company who reflect back to me, yeah, nobody fucking cares. Like go walk around to all of the restaurants in the small town where the school is and ask them for money for the fifth grade celebration. Nobody's gonna die. It's fine. And so I think that's part of it is building into the structure of our companies, people and systems that remind us that we're human first. And then in those moments where we're like, why can't I just like I just need to say no to people and I don't know why I can't, right? It's because you've baked in this yucky pie of to succeed is to struggle, right? And so as entrepreneurs, especially as female entrepreneurs, we hit this part where we're like, well, I'm not struggling anymore. And a couple different things happen. One is you work with a mindset coach or something, an executive coach, someone like me, right? And you work through it and you're like, I move on, right? You go see a therapist and they help you work through it. It takes a little bit longer because you're processing and maybe you don't really move forward, but you feel better and that's a win, right? Or you restructure your business unintentionally in ways where you end up struggling even more, right? You're like, oh, things have been going well. You know, I'm having 50K months and I have an assistant and my kid, you know, got the new shoes he wanted and whatever. And now I feel really weird. And subconsciously, I'm going to start to make decisions that fuck me over all the way back. So I think that's
It's
the long.
wild. And I think that the last one happens a lot.
For
Self
sure.
sabotage is real.
But reminding yourself that it's less about self-sabotage and more about this is how I was told to be a good person, right? Not just this is what I was taught to do in order to succeed in my company or in order to succeed in a career if you don't own a business, right? It's not just that. It's that, especially as women, we are very, very, very interested in getting it right and being nice. And if getting it right and being nice is contingent on doing more than we really can for people that want us to do more than we really can, that are perhaps taking advantage of that situation, right?
Nailed it.
That, yeah,
I'm
that's
pretty
where
sure
that
we were
freaking.
just talking about that in real life about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's really common. It's so common. I think I
Yeah.
answered your question. That was a
You
very long
did.
answer.
I mean, you didn't just unpack it, like you took out, like you moved in and unboxed every box from the
Yep, there's
house.
all the boxes.
Yes, I love it. It really is. It's ingrained that we don't even know it, that we've been taught that struggle equals success. And when we start to have success and we're not struggling, we go, crap, Something must be wrong. I need to feel more struggle.
Yep, bingo.
Right? And the ladies and I, we've talked about this about a week ago. It's almost like when somebody says, "Hello, how's it going?" Go, "I'm so busy. I'm so
Oh, so
busy." We have
busy.
to say, like, that is, we have to tell them we're busy, we're overwhelmed, we're getting burnt out, and that means we're successful.
Because if I'm not
And good.
busy, well, if I'm not busy, the perception is that I'm lazy and I'm not doing enough.
Yep. Me and a couple of a handful of my girlfriends and just people I admire professionally are, well into the six figures and some into, what am I saying? Millionaires beyond, right? And I was sitting hanging out with one of them a couple of years ago, and my mom was with us, which added an interesting dynamic. But she and I talked about this idea of it must be nice, right? You start having things you want, right? I bought a new car. Like my kid needs new shoes right now. This is what he keeps sending me, like $160 running shoes on Amazon. I'm like, you're 10, right? But all these different things, right? We start to have things that are an outgrowth of our genius making its way into the world and helping other people. And what we get back is like a big nasty fish to the face of like, well, it must be nice. I was like, yeah, bitch, it is,
It is
right?
nice.
But
Yeah,
the
it
issue,
is nice. It
yeah,
is
it
nice.
is nice.
Thank
And
you. Thank
I can
you.
say it with my mouth, but in my heart, I'm like, am I selfish? Am I bad? Am I mean? Am I wrong? Am I a bad person? Am I a bad mom? That's a big one, right? And people just, we like wither from the sunlight. We're like, nah, bring me more money and happiness. Like we can't. Right. And so we put ourselves back into situations where we look like the people around us structurally, right? Not actually. I think the big thing that tipped me from a place of not just I want to succeed in my business, but I found in my business, I went full time June 5th, 2020, height of the pandemic, hot fucking mess. Right. And I've done what I do for a very long time, but I hadn't been doing it for myself. I'd been doing it under the umbrella of a different company. And the thing that I think was the difference between me launching in a pandemic and hitting six figures within a year and people making an online business because now I need an online business was that I surrounded myself very intentionally with people who had exactly what I want. Not kind of what I want, exactly what I want. And I had this whiteboard. I bought a boat and my kid and I were living on this like older yacht because I got rid of my apartment. I'm like, I don't want to worry about a rent payment. I'm starting a company. So we had this 1988 Silverton aft cabin 40-foot yacht. And I like in my cabin put up this chalkboard and it said people who will unconditionally affirm the shit out of me. And I listed every person that would, if I picked up and I said, I'm thinking of clubbing baby seals, they'd be like, oh my God, you have it in you. White's a good color on you, right? You could, yeah, make coats, right? That was like the energy that I needed in my life. And I made it like it was a rule that I called one of those people on the phone every single day, right? I
Oh,
still
I
talk
love
to my,
that.
I still
I
talk
love
to my
that.
family and I still talk to other people, but not for long. If I'm on the phone for more than 5 minutes and you are a soggy waffle person, I can't. A soggy waffle is someone that marinates in the stickiness of their problems and waffles about whether or not to do something about them. I'm
Oh my
sure
God,
you all have
Daniela.
encountered those people.
Absolutely. And they are not my people at all.
No. No. Now you have a phrase for them. We only like waffles if they have caramel and like whipped topping.
I
That's
love that. That's amazing. And I think at one point, all of us probably were those soggy waffles
it.
until we learned, because everything is a learned behavior. We learned to no longer be, I want to be the waffle with the caramel and the whipped topping. So that's what I'm going to do. I love that you intentionally, and you made it very intentional to speak to someone every day who has exactly what you want. What a phenomenal switch.
Was huge. Was huge.
What prompted you to do that? I'm just curious. Where did you come up with, I got to do this right now, starting today?
Okay, I feel like there's a little bit of a lead up. Like that's such an easy question. The short question, this short answer of the long story is I was just tired of my own bullshit. I was so exhausted and just like over hearing myself talk about and think about why I was broke, why I was tired, why I had a broken picker when it came to dating men, why I was a bad mom for whatever. And I was just so fucking tired. And I started to pray. I'm a woman of faith. I started to pray. And I was like, okay, God, the therapy stuff is like not moving me forward. I believe in therapy, love therapy. Great. Don't not go to therapy if you hire a coach. Don't do that. And all of those caveats on the table, right? So I knew that I had these really big stories about like why I needed to be struggling, like why life had to feel really precarious financially. And I was really clear on what a lot of them were, right? I wasn't like, golly jeepers, I wish I knew. It was like, I understand the issue here. I just can't move it forward. And I went to a business conference in November 2019, and I don't know, I was in a coliseum with 6,200 others, so 6,000 other female entrepreneurs,
Wow.
and I was just ready. I was just ready. And one of the main presenters got up. He was a dude. And he said, you know, it, no one's going to give you permission to go do what you want to do. But if you're needing that, consider this conversation your permission slip. And it was just this like takeoff for me of like, I'm just done. I'm just done. So I'm praying. And it's like start of the pandemic, things are starting to go awry in the world. I'm like, okay, I really need a mentor. And me and a bunch of other female coaches were just meeting in a Zoom room every night at 8 o'clock. It was just like somebody had put up something in like some Facebook group of like, if you're a female coach and you're in the pandemic, like let's all just hang out. And so for 2 weeks at 8 o'clock at night, just these women from all around the world, we were just hanging in a Zoom room being like, have you killed your kid yet? How are you? Right. And it was great. And so this woman opens her mouth. I'd been very prayerful and intentional. I'd given myself permission, but I needed a mentor, right? That was going to tip me forward. And I've been praying. I'm like, I'll know when she's here. And this lady opened her mouth. And within a sentence, I was like, she's my person. And I DM'd her and I said, can we get in a private Zoom room? I hired her on the spot. I did not have that money for people that are like, I can't afford coaching. I'm like, I hear you. That is a choice you get to make, right? The choice that I made, however,
Please.
was I went to my kitchen table and I got a napkin, as one does when they're making important financial decisions.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely. Yes.
I got a red Sharpie marker because it was the only thing there. And I opened up every single tab on every single credit card and bank account I had. And I added it all up and I'm like, that's fine. And I wired this woman $10,000 fucking dollars. And I was like, okay, hope she's not a fraud. Should have probably should have read the testimonials. You know, but I hired her. I had so much faith. I had so much faith that this was, you know, I knew what I was looking for. I just hadn't found it yet. It was like, gosh, I don't know. And I made that money back in 60 days. Right. And like, so if you're listening and you're new in a business and you're like, well, you know, most new businesses go broke in the first 2 years and, you know, they don't make money for blah, like, okay, decide that that's not your story because it
Yep,
doesn't
right.
have to be. Right.
Yeah, and I think that doesn't go for online digital businesses, so to speak. Like it really shouldn't. Like it's more of a brick and mortar because you had to invest like in, rent and whatnot. But I don't know. Like your business shouldn't be 2 years. I feel like that's for restaurants only. I don't know.
I mean, I guess that implies that like the way to have a successful business is to have low overhead, right, and high margin. It's just like I don't see that as the case, especially, you know, I see business like I coach more than entrepreneurs, right? I coach people from a number of different kind of call them buckets, right? I've got like political leader bucket, I have like author bucket, I have owner, you know, like owns a company bucket, and leads a company bucket. And that's kind of how I like organize it in my brain, right? And when I'm working with someone who's a leader but not an entrepreneur, it's the same scary thing being played in their head of like, what if I don't X, Y, and Z goal that I'm trying to hit, which is the same narrative of what if I don't hit this revenue mark, right? Whatever.
Right.
The
Yeah.
thing that's consistent is the insecurity, because the thing that's under the insecurity is, am I good enough? And I'm measuring my worth based off external results.
Yeah. Yep. So many people look for that validation right in the beginning. And when you're building your own business or you're an entrepreneur, you know, we're just born and raised, and your parents or guardian told you're doing a good job, you're not doing good. Your school system told you're getting good grades, you're failing. The boss, you get paid or you don't. So I think when we start something new on our own, we're looking for that external where no, you just got to figure out that vision and figure out the strategy to get there and go. Get
That's
that.
where your chalkboard comes in. You call those people.
Exactly. Yeah. Man, this
But
is tough.
why is so a lot of high achieving women that you work with, they're incredible at their work, and it's just not enough to silence their inner critic. It's just not enough. So how do you actually start to kill that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's kind of a misnomer, right? It's like my car keeps rattling. And so I'm going to pull it over because it must be the oil, right? And it's like we're looking to fix a thing that looks very broad and generalized by going after something specific. I feel insecure about myself, and therefore I need to be great at my job because that will fix the insecurity. In reality, you get better at your job the second you let go of the idea that you need somebody else to give you an emotional Scooby snack. So
Right.
what I call it, I call this with my clients, I call it the hamster wheel of high achievement, right? Or achievement as a love language, right? If I just have enough, then it will silence that mean girl in my head, right? That I'm paraphrasing your question, but getting right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And so the answer is not do more and do it better. The answer is believe in yourself, which I know that sounds kooky, but we'll get there. Right.
Yeah.
Like the answer is to find meaning in who you are that has nothing to do with anything that you achieve. Right. Like I feel deeply meaningful even when I'm a crappy mom, and that's a lot. Right. I feel deeply meaningful on the many times that I drop the ball in different ways. Right. Like I feel like a profound sense of purpose in this world. And sometimes I sell things and sometimes I don't. And sometimes I work with people and it goes great. And sometimes it's a weird flop because it's not a good fit. Right. And it doesn't matter because the thing that stays consistent is I trust myself. Right. And if I can let that be a relationship between me and the girl in the mirror versus me and whoever is handing me money or telling me whatever, and like, good job on printing out these fucking things for the PTA and walking all around the world on Wednesday.
Right.
I'm like very consumed with this because I have to reschedule a bunch of, I have to reschedule a bunch of clients so me and the other PTA moms can like go around the town. I'm stoked about it, but right. So the insecurity, the mean girl in our head, the inability to stop pushing is indicative of a relationship with ourselves, not a relationship with someone else, right? If I'm looking for someone else to come and validate me, that's not going to fix it because the oil's not the thing that's out of whack, right? It's my relationship with myself that needs addressing, not my relationship doing shit at work, right? Does this make sense?
Yes, it
Absolutely.
does.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's hit
Especially.
home. I've had that moment where I'm like, crap, I was looking, my worth was tied to somebody else's acknowledgement. It's like, why? Why did I give that person that much power?
Well, if we go back to the beginning of kind of where we opened the conversation, it's not an accident, right? And like to say, well, why did I do that is kind of like a form of gaslighting ourselves. It's like, because we were told to, right? I remember very
We got the pat on the back from society. We're doing the right thing.
Oh my God, like I'm about to be 42, right? I remember in first grade, I was going to a new school. I was all like, whatever. And my mom took me to this like cool place to shop, and I bought the coolest outfit that I wish I had kept because it's freaking awesome, but probably wouldn't fit me now. And so I have this like hand knit dress that had like poodles or something. It was like black and white houndstooth. It was awesome. I was so excited to buy this thing. And then the sales lady said, oh, all the boys are gonna love that. Right, like I was six, And
Oh.
but I remember that. I remember laying it out on the like chair the night before and being like, the boys are gonna love that, right? Like that was my focus walking into a new school where I went to the school district from first to the time I graduated, right? My immediate and like initial desire was that the boys would love this. Right. It wasn't, I'm gonna make a friend. It wasn't, I'm gonna like the math teacher, whatever. It was, a boy is gonna really like this. And the validation seeking, it's like, well, where does this come from? Then I'm looking for the, it comes from everywhere. Right. It comes from everywhere. And if you can allow yourself to say, this isn't something that I created, that's where kind of we can picture this as kind of like 100-pound like stack of bricks, right? And we're like, I need validation. I feel insecure in this tower, kind of Jenga tower of insecurity bricks, right? If you can take the bricks off of, I did something to create this, I did something wrong because I believe this, where did I get this? Why do I think this way? And instead of be like, oh, I didn't. I didn't make this up. This was told to me. And so I'm just going to choose to clear that away versus add it back and be like, well, in addition to all this insecurity, I feel like I was wrong because I created it. Like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
That's powerful. That is powerful. Because I'm thinking to a story. I mean, I've always, like a lot of women, up a couple pounds, down a couple pounds. And in fifth grade, this kid dumped me because I was getting fat, and I can still, I'm sitting in Mr. McDonald's science class and I can see him telling me that. I swear it stuck with me my whole life. I ended up being 5'6". He's like 5'1". I'm like, we won't talk about that. But
He's
yeah, things that they impact you. They
probably
impact.
bad in bed too. If he's listening, just I'm just saying he's probably bad in bed too.
Done.
Never get to find out, which is good. Fifth grade, fifth grade.
Exactly. He can carry that burden with him for the rest of his life because he gave you this one.
But it's amazing that societal, yeah, it's what we're taught, we're trained.
Right, and remembering that that's not
Crazy.
an accident, right? Like if we, it's kind of like the masters in women's studies shit that comes out of my face every now and then, right? But like none of this was an accident, right? We built our entire society, our racial hierarchy, our economic hierarchy, around the idea that women aren't quite as capable. And if they aspire to be, they are some crazy bitches. And where do they think they get off on thinking that way? Right.
If we're
And
out
so
there.
it's really, really important for us to acknowledge that none of the mean girl in our head, one, came from us, and two, was by accident. It's not. It is a system to make sure that you have less resources and less self-esteem than the people who are designed to make it to the top, right? Does this make sense?
It's huge. I think anyone listening is going to be like, aha moment in the car right now. Aha moment walking around listening to the podcast. Because it hits a lot more women than what we realize because it is so programmed.
Right. And I think, taking this directly to business, the like warm, squishy part of me like wants to be like, and we just need to like be with each other and affirm each other and like really see our truth and be vulnerable. Fine, sure. And right, I don't think it's a coincidence that almost half of the businesses in this country are owned by women and only 4% of them will ever hit $1 million in revenue. That doesn't strike me as a mistake, right? And Dawn, I know you come from a background in affiliate marketing, right? And kind of like somewhat soared, like a little bit in the same neighborhood of MLM, right? People get that confused. But when we think about like the vast majority of MLMs are female, right? Like their business is fronted by females. I'm sure I'm getting the language wrong and I apologize, right? Like it's not a coincidence, right? It's like, here's a bunch of people that have economic vulnerabilities vis-a-vis the general population. Here's a bunch of people that live in relationship to one another because it's freaking essential, right? You cannot parent a child without a female best friend. You just can't. Somebody prove me wrong, right? And so companies know this, corporations know this. And so they go after women, they create products, right? I'm not saying any particular MLM is a, horrible, well, okay, LuLaRoe, right? Like, all of these different organizations are built upon the premise that we know that women will do a bunch of hard work and they won't
Right.
complain about it if we don't pay them enough. And if we do weird shit that makes their lives complicated and makes them question themselves, they're going to question themselves, not us. Great. Right. And that's not
True.
an accident. Right. It's just not. And so, as female entrepreneurs, one of the reasons I love working with women is it's not just how do you market better, right? It's not just how do you structure your company. It's not just how do you structure your time. It's do you feel fundamentally like being a good person means other people get to take advantage of you?
Right. Yeah.
So how much do you think is this is generational? And I'm gonna that's a two-sided question because I'm going down the money route and I'm going down the value route. So I'm a few years older than you. I'm 53. So I was raised by parents who were raised by Great Depression parents, right? So even though my mother, she was quite the female entrepreneur in the 80s, which was an achievement,
Wow.
and things became fluid. My father was always a business owner, so I was raised like that, and things were abundant in the 80s. But yet we still washed out the Ziploc bags and dried them because their parents taught them not to waste. So I feel like our generation of women, we're some, I was tucked between the serve my family, be grateful for whatever. As opposed to, oh my God, there is a million ways to make money, build businesses, empower yourself. How do you find the balance?
Oh, girl. I think that's like the million. You know, it's funny. I'm like, I'm trying to find, I'm like scaling, like, where is it? Want to show you guys a picture. I
Ooh.
don't know where it is. Hang on.
I
Hang
love
on.
visuals.
Yes.
Yes.
Hold, please.
Hold
Hold,
on.
please.
Cue the hold music.
Feel free to sing. Oh my fucking goodness. Where is it? Oh my God. You act. I was just down. Okay. So I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for and then we'll find it. I was just at my father's apartment. I spend one night a week there in general. And he's also raised by Depression era immigrants. He will open his mouth and you'll see that his bottom teeth are only half formed because his mom was cutting milk with water in his bottle, right? My uncle Frankie, like I said, had to walk to the army recruiters, like, my family come from dirt poor, dirt poor. I live on Maryland's Eastern Shore. If you've never been here, come, it's gorgeous. And my great grandmother came when 1914-ish. As a teenager, over from Poland on a boat by herself with a cardboard suitcase with everything she owned. And she came through the port of Baltimore and she came all the way down to the Eastern Shore where I now live. And she rolled tobacco. That was like her initial, like, welcome to America. This is the job. And so my dad has carried these stories with him of this is what life looks like. This is the way life looks like, right? And so I'm at his house and I open his like kitchen cabinets, and there's stacks, boxes of ramen noodles. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Right. And he gets meals on wheels. Food insecurity is not a thing, right? But it is here. And so in his mind, in his body, the way to have safety, which is all money is in people's mind, if I have money, I am safe. That is the thing to break apart. As an entrepreneur, if you can get away from the idea of if I have safety in my body, money comes all the time. If I believe that money equals safety, I will be broke forever and ever, right? So I'm sitting in my dad's apartment, and this ramen noodle, this is safety to him, right? This is
Right.
safety to him because he knows that he's not going to be hungry, right? And my mother does the same fucking thing. She will hoard food. And it is, you asked, is it
Same as
generational?
mine. We'll
It
have like she'll we'll oh every time we any of us visit. So there's seven kids
is.
and we're
Wow.
all and the one thing we've all agreed upon when we the first get to the house when our mom is in another room, we go in the fridge and we start chucking things. Because there'll be food there that has been there for quite some time and it may have mold on this side. She goes, well, I can eat the other side. We can't throw it out. You know, and she's got freezers and freezers of food in the garage. And we're like, some of this is dated like 12, 15 years. So we go and like when we sneak away, because she gets so mad, like you're taking away her safety. I never really thought of it that way, that that's what it is. She's tied it to safety.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we've grown up in a culture, and probably globally, that says money, if I have money, it means I'm okay. Not just good, right? Look at me, I'm worthy, I have money, but like I can fundamentally feed my children. I am okay, I am safe. And we have conflated money with that. And so for people that grow up, one, without a lot of money, or two, they grow up with the belief that they do not have a lot of money. It doesn't have to, your bank account does not have to reflect broke in order to feel broke, right? And if you grow up feeling that way in the absence of money, right? I can't make money. It's hard to make money. Money always goes. It's the root of all evil, all this other shit. I'm gonna hoard food, right? And in my household, my boyfriend knows I will not throw out leftovers. I cannot leave food on the table. It hurts me physically because, oh my God, right? And that's how I was raised. So I think a lot of this is generational. That's been my own experience. And then with my clients, 100%. Like when someone's doing a discovery call with me, I'm like waiting, I'm like clocking, and I'm like, how long? If it's a dude, they mention dad, or if it's a girl, they mention mom. I'm like, yep, okay, great. But it's every single person, it always, 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 always comes back to the parent of the same gender. How did I learn how to be a good person, an ethical person, a person that cares about the world, a person who is responsible and safe? What did I learn, right? And people will either learn that my parents really, like, this is the truth, or they will have learned never under any fucking circumstances will I ever be that way. And that's where that kind of indirect insidiousness comes in. I have a client right now, they have a very complicated relationship with a parent, and all of the behaviors kind of swing full circle. And so it's kind of like looking at like a negative of a photo, right? It's like, it's not what the parent did, but looky here, it's that inverse, and we're still getting the negative outcome that we don't want, no pun intended, right? And so I think if you're looking to, how do I address my self-worth so that I can get out of this loop of, I work really hard, I work really hard, I get validation, but oh my God, it wasn't enough. And so I work really hard some more, right? If you want to get out of that loop, it has to start with one, how do I feel safe trusting myself? And then two, how do I feel safe being in the world unattached to these other things? Because people, and I'm sure you all have experienced this, people will stay in horrible professional situations if they feel like leaving will jeopardize their financial ability, right? And so to break
Absolutely.
all of this apart is the path to freedom. It's not how do you do more, how do you do less, how do you say no, how do you say yes? Like, it's just how do I deconstruct all of this enough so that I can understand that these building blocks of my own oppression are not helping me.
Yeah, we're gonna have time to have a part
Oh my
two.
goodness.
I'll talk to your
We're gonna
listeners
have
to
to
come
have Dr.
back.
Liz back. But on this note, there's a lot to unpack
There
today.
is.
Go back and re-listen, re-watch. There was mic drop after mic drop. I mean, Dr. Liz threw everything at us that was like, dang, okay, I thought I had it figured out. I don't quite have it figured out. I now understand. We got it. And ultimately, we got to start trusting ourselves more. Our way is the way. We got
And
to
it
tear
starts with
down old
safety.
rules, old thinking, old limits, and whatever feels right for you, that's the right way forward, quite honestly. That's
Yeah,
what
and
I'm
remembering
talking
that it's not about affirmations, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough. It's not about any of that. It's how do I cultivate safety in this moment? How do I feel safe right this second? Because from there you can build trust, from there you can build boundaries, but it has to start with safety.
about. Oh,
Wow.
amazing, amazing. Please
Oh,
go
wonderful.
connect with Dr. Liz at Dr. Liz Dubois. Did I say it correctly?
Dubois.
Dubois, excuse me. DrLizDubois.com. Go check her out. Check out her amazing coaching community, all of that. And be sure to give us a follow. Go join our private community, all of that good stuff, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.